Amen.
So guys, I'm going to jump head first into this because I don't plan to preach again this morning. I want to pray. Like, I'm hungry to pray. Like, that's what I want to do, and that's what I feel the Lord wants to get to. So I'm going to lay a quick foundation. This is part two of a series that I started a couple weeks ago called Sing, Pray, Go. And it's about worship, prayer, and missions, and how those are not all disjointed, but they're all connected.
Yeah.
And so those are some things that we really love at this church. They fit right into our values. We're a sending church. We believe in the presence, and that's why we stay in these extended times of worship and prayer. Prayer in many different forms, healing prayer, words of knowledge, prayer on Mondays, different things like that, prayer at your workplace, whatever it is. You know, Paul says, pray all the time, all kind of ways, unceasing. And in the context of that, a lot of people are like, well, how am I going to do that? You know, I'm like, well, he said that to a community of people.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's made for us to run together to really build that out. And how many of you know that's part of our eternal identity?
Yeah.
Is we are priests unto God. So this is not going to stop, and we get to enter into a dimension of this right now in this lifetime, you know what I mean, and bringing heaven to earth. And so I'm going to jump right in with a story. How many of you have heard of a man called Ambrose Whaley? Nobody. Okay, cool. This guy is like one of my heroes. He's like, nobody really knows his name, but heaven knows his name. And so I'm going to read a story about this guy. And so it's about a guy named Ambrose Whaley and Armin Geslin. He's known as the Apostle of Prayer and Revival in America. You know, and so like it's probably, and he has some connections to one of the greatest evangelists of our time. And so I'm going to read how that all connects and how it's all built through the place of prayer.
Yeah.
And so early in the ministry, and this is Armin Geslin. And so early in the ministry, I had an experience which completely changed my understanding of prayer. What a transformation. I was called to start churches. And so he was a pastor, had just discovered prayer meeting truth in Acts. So he's starting prayer meetings, just discovered it in Acts. So I started a prayer meeting, the first one I ever attended. In came an elderly Methodist man one night. When he prayed, I detected something new. I have heard praying like that. I have never heard. He said, I've never heard any praying like that before in my life. And so I said to myself, it was not only fervency, I had plenty of that, but heaven and earth got together at once when he prayed. So heaven and earth, he's like, man, the presence is breaking through when this guy prays. And so there was a strange immediacy about it. And so it's just a thin place when he started to pray. And so the prayer and the answer were not far apart. In fact, they were moving along together, and he had it in the bag, so it seemed to me. The Holy Spirit was right there in action, giving him assurance of the answer, even while he was praying. When I prayed, God was way out there somewhere. And so anybody ever prayed and you're like, man, God, where are you? Like, it feels like I'm just throwing spaghetti on the wall and seeing what sticks right now. And so God was way out there somewhere in the distance, listening. The answer, too, was in the distance in the by and by. But there was a discovery. He said, eager to learn the secret, I went to see him one day. His name was Ambrose Whaley, and everyone called him Uncle Am. And so he was a retired blacksmith. He was a Methodist lay preacher. I soon came to the point, Uncle Am, I would love to pray with you. At once he rose, and he led me across the driveway into a red barn, up into a ladder, into a haymow. And so he got led into a barn with some hay bales. And so he's out there. He's like, how many of you want to go pray? And somebody takes you to a barn and they're just like sitting you down in front of some hay bales. It'll be a little odd, right? And so he prayed at first. And as he recalled it, he poured out his heart, his needs, his burdens, his wishes, aspirations, and ambitions to God. Then he prayed, and there was that difference again. So this guy prays, Armin prays, and then Uncle Am prays, and there's something different about it. And so there in that hay, on our knees, at eyeball level, I said, Uncle Am, what is it? You have some kind of secret in praying. Would you mind sharing it with me? And this is what he said. He was 24, Armin's 24. This guy is 73, lived to be 93. And he was an eagle look in his eye, and he said this, young man, learn to plead the promises of God. And he said, that did it. Learn to plead the promises of God. And so my praying has never been the same since. That word completely changed my understanding of prayer. It revolutionized it. I saw it as he said it. So what? Well, when I prayed, there was a fervency, an ambition, etc. And there's not that the Lord doesn't put a perfect squelch on either, but it lacked faith. He said, prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. There must be faith. Where does that come from? From hearing the word of God. Uncle Am would pray scripture after scripture, reminding him of promise after promise, pleading these like a lawyer does with his case, the Holy Spirit pouring in his assurance of being heard. This man knew the promises by the bushel. He did not seem to need those two Bibles in the hay. I soon learned that he was a mighty intercessor. That's a very important word, an intercessor. Said that Jesus did that. That he was the man when God talks about, I looked around and I could not find anyone to stand in the gap. Jesus stood in the gap. Yeah. And that's a picture of intercession, stepping in the gap on behalf of another. And so he learned the secret of intercessory prayer and how he can ever thank God that much. Promises predict the answers. So promises predict the answers. They are the molds into which we pour our prayers. They foretell what to expect. They shape our praying. They motivate, direct, and determine our supplication. Promises like these, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon the Lord and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. Mysteries. Yeah. Or Matthew 21:22. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That John 14:14. And so whatever you pray, believe that you have received it. And so this makes Christian praying different. How, in a very real sense, we pray from the answer.
That's right. Come on.
And so it's very different. Woo. And so from the answer to it. We don't pray from here to there. Yeah. We pray from there to here.
That's yeah. right.
From heaven
That's right.
to earth.
That's right.
And so we release that. And so we can act on his word. And this was the prayer that satisfies us. And so this is Armin Geslin. So give you a little backdrop on this guy. So Armin, he was ordained in the Lutheran Church, and he served in the Long Island Lutheran Church. Not long after serving in that Long Island, New York church, he heard of a great revival that broke out in a Bethlehem congregation in Ohio, or in Oslo, Norway, in the 1930s. He went to check out the revival, found it to be the greatest movement of spiritual awakening he had ever seen. The Holy Spirit and conviction of sin was so strong, so real, he decided to stay and preach for 2 years. During those days, he found his wife. She was converted during that time. Awakening and revival lasted 9 years and spread throughout all of Norway and Sweden. About 20,000 people came to Christ. When Armin left Norway to come back to America with his bride, he was never the same. He traveled from coast to coast speaking on prayer and revival. And so he became the apostle of prayer and revival. And this is where it gets crazy, guys, right here. So all across the country. So it was his ministry. He goes out to California, Los Angeles, California. He starts a prayer meeting out there, and he invites this young kid from North Carolina named Billy Graham. And the rest is history. Do you guys know what happened at that Los Angeles prayer meeting? It launched Billy Graham into his ministry, into his destiny, out of a place of prayer. And so this little intercessor back here named Uncle Ambrose, Uncle Am, nobody knows, launched the greatest evangelist that we have seen in our lifetime. So, another guy. Anybody know Daniel Nash? Daniel Nash. He was the intercessor for Charles Finney. And so this is from Christ for All Nations Canada. This is introducing Daniel Nash, the most famous guy the world has never known. Charles Finney is considered by most to be one of the greatest revivals in American history. He was in the Second Great Awakening. He was the guy who's primarily popular for that. The moral nature of whole cities and regions were impacted for decades because of the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit through him. About 80% of those who came to Christ through his meetings were reportedly serving the Lord 25 years later. So they got saved, and 25 years later, after, they're still loving Jesus. And so much has been written about the amazing ministry of Charles Finney, but very little is known about Daniel Nash, his associate. And so he was quiet by nature, rarely if ever attended any of the revival meetings where Finney preached or pastored in his early years. He was hurt by some church leaders who fired him for being too old. He was 46. I'm like, thank God that doesn't happen now. I'm like coming close on that, man. I'm like, jeez. Man, Nash preceded Charles Finney's arrival in a city. So he would go before Charles would get anywhere. He would check into a boarding house and pray for those meetings. Sometimes people reportedly heard the weeping and groaning from this man's room as he prayed in the Holy Spirit's power to be released for a mighty harvest from Finney's preaching. He would pray for days, even weeks, until he felt the spiritual atmosphere had been prepared. And so once he felt a release, he would call Charles Finney to come. The greatest moves of God in American history occurred during this time. Entire regions were changed as a result of Finney's meetings. And so the greatest moves in our history were birthed out of prayer. And so 4 months after Daniel Nash's death, Charles Finney left his itinerant revival ministry to pastor a church. And so this guy leaves, dies, and then Charles Finney 4 months later leaves the itinerant ministry. And he pastored a church. And as the power of God that once marked his ministries began to wane. And so history knows Charles Finney. Heaven knows Daniel Nash. And so there's more stories about him, you know. I could go on and on about that, but I'm going to get into some other stuff here. Biblically, I want to go through the book of Acts. So we just looked at some history of prayer. Now I want to look at the Bible and just lay this foundation. In the book of Acts, Acts 1, the early church was birthed out of what?
Prayer.
A prayer meeting. Acts 2, Pentecost came and they were what?
Praying.
Acts 3, the first miracle, Peter and John were on their way to a what?
Prayer
meeting. Acts 4, after being thrown in jail and punished, they go back and they do what?
Pray
for effectiveness and boldness, and the ground shook. Acts 6, the structure of the church changed, and what did the leadership do?
Pray.
They prayed. They said, we cannot neglect the ministry of the word and prayer. Acts 10, God reveals himself to Peter, telling him to go meet Cornelius as he is doing what?
Praying.
Acts 13, the first missionaries are birthed out of what?
Prayer
meeting. And so this is incredible, guys. There's a history of this. Myself, how I was birthed into this, I believe it was probably because my mom praying for years and years for me. And then years later in my 20s, bam, the power of God hits me, shakes me in a dream, and I'm saved out of that. I'm scared. I'm like, wow, God, I got a revelation of who you really are. I want to love you and serve you the rest of my days. When 2013-ish, somewhere in there, I'm going through a relationship, going through a breakup. I'm on the ground weeping, crying. And the Lord comes upon me. He says, T, what do you want most out of life? Like, how many of you know when God asks you that question, you better have a good answer, you know? And I said, God, I want you. He says, then do this, Psalms 27:4. I want to behold your beauty. I want to gaze upon you all the days of my life. I want to inquire in your courts. This is what my life is about. Little did I know, it was preparing a friend who was in Kansas City doing a internship out there. He's praying out there and he's saying, God, when I come back to Wilmington, who am I going to run with? He mentions me, not knowing that I had just had this encounter on the ground. He gets back to his place where I was staying. We link up and he says, T, what are you doing? I'm like, Psalms 27:4. I feel like this is what we're supposed to do. I just read Revelations 4 and 5 too. I feel like this is what they do in heaven. We should probably do this on earth. He says, well, let's have our first 24-hour prayer meeting. And I've said, okay, cool. That might kill me. He says, so I pray about it. Come back. God said, yes. He says, all right, then let's do it. I said, dude, it might kill me. He says, did God tell you it would? No, let's do it now. And so we had our first 24-hour prayer meeting in a house of prayer in Wilmington. Completely launched me into where I am right now. And so what is intercessory prayer? And this is my definition of that. And I'm going to run through some things really quickly here. And so today, this is not going to look like a regular Sunday, guys. This is going to be transformed into a prayer meeting. I'm going to give some details on that a little bit later, but it's my point to get there and not stay here. And so intercessory prayer is pray from the promises, is pray from scripture, asking God to release his blessings to touch others. And an intercessor is one who intervenes and acts on behalf of another. Like I said, picture Jesus on the cross, standing like this in the gap between heaven and earth, taking God's hand and your hand, and he's linking you guys up. That's the picture that we get. It's both a physical act and it's a spiritual act of intervening. Jesus both came down from heaven and he also was lifted into heaven with his prayers. And so it's both and. And so why ongoing corporate prayer? Why do we need to do that? Number one, 24/7 prayer is what they do in heaven. They don't have... That's what they do. We should probably do that. They're going to do that when Jesus returns. We're going to do that for eternity. So that's why we do that. It's not another program. It's not a cool idea. It's a heavenly perspective. It's God's idea. It's his plan. It's the way he runs his government. And so corporate ministry to the Lord was on the foundation. So why ongoing prayer? Corporate ministry to God was the foundation of Israel's identity as a people, and it was also the foundational activity of the early church. And so prayer will always have a place in the house of God. When it is a stranger there, then it ceases to be the house of God at all. And so Jesus makes that abundantly clear when he says that my house should be called a house of prayer. Like, he makes this the preeminent things which stands out above all other things in his house. And this is not me. This is the necessity of prayer that I'm reading from here and paraphrasing from E.M. Bounds. And so how did I find that? I'm driving in my car. I hear this word, necessity of prayer. I Google it, and there it is. Boom. Word of knowledge. Wow. Thank you, Matthew, for the impartation. Coffee. Love it. And so worship is prayer. We do that. And so the prayer closet is for the individual prayer. The house of God is for mutual concerted prayer, united prayer. And so those things, even that we are believers, there's something about when we get together that has a synergy. And so these things, and so a couple teaching points right here. Number one, prayer is for connection with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the church. And so it's for communion, co-union, and community with Christ and the body of Christ. It shapes our corporate identity and our eternal identity in Christ. It shapes a biblical worldview as well as corporate agreement and unity, corporate anointing, and it's a corporate unity in prayer that releases corporate breakthrough and anointing on a corporate people. And so community and communion, encountering God is not just a new program, it's the source of our identity. And so prayer gives us help in finding identity within a community, because it's not just about us, it's about everybody else supplying. And that's a multiplicative effect when we get together and the people of God pray. Things shift. People are made for relational community, and family sustains prayer. Family sustains prayer. You can't do it alone. And so Jesus praying in the garden, what did he want to do? He wanted to go wake up his friends so they could do what? Pray with him. And so intimacy and connection with God opens up your heart to see how Jesus feels about you and gives us confidence in expressing our love back to him. Yeah. And so something about intimacy that comes out of being in the present is one of the greatest demonstrations of the first and second commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbors as well. It's one of the greatest demonstrations of that. And by creating space together corporately before God, we can help others reach for his hand and partner with him through agreement and prayer, escorting people into the promises of Isaiah 56:7, which says that I will give them joy in the house of prayer on my holy mountain. I will bring them before me and I'm going to give them joy. Psalm 16:11, there's pleasure at the right hand of God. Who sits at the right hand of God? Jesus. That's salvation and the kingdom. That's healing. That's deliverance. That's salvation. That's Jesus. And so it gives us a corporate identity as believers. We got to be rooted in who we are forever. Out of Revelation 1:6, it says that we are going to be priests before the Lord. He has made us priests before him. That also says that in Revelations 5:6 and 1:6. The understanding that we are priests before God gives us boldness to enter into his presence. Boldness. We've been talking about this, a quiet confidence, not in ourselves, but in who he is and how he feels about us, energizes our hearts to pray that back to him, and he moves on it. Yeah. All right. It shapes a biblical worldview. With all this crazy stuff going on in the world today, the message of justice gives our heart a biblical framework for how God longs to make wrong things right. And learning about the end from the beginning gives us hope and confidence of God's beautiful master plan. This is why we pray from promise, so that we don't go discontented, discouraged, but we say, Jesus, your plan is eternal. It's going to come to pass. You long to make these things better than I ever would. You long for them more than I do. I will agree with you.
Yeah.
All right. And so we're going to move into a time of prayer now. And so I want to invite the worship team back up. And guys, this is a couple things that I've felt. Number one, we haven't practiced, so who cares? Seriously. Like, that will get you into some legalistic stuff right there, and we're not doing that. I felt, as we were preparing this, that there was a lot of spiritual warfare going on around it. It's already been breakthrough. You felt it this morning, and we're about to go back in again. And so I believe it's a part of a mandate on this church as well. We're going to be praying for some specific things here. Number one, we pray for the body of Christ. We pray for each other. We pray for the Chapel Hill, the Church of Chapel Hill. Not just us, everybody in every denomination, everyone that calls on the name of Jesus. We love them. No matter what we stand for or what little minors that we disagree upon, we love them because Jesus died for them and loves them as well. And so we're going to be praying for the Chop House. The Chop House is the Chapel Hill House of Prayer. We want to see a physical house of prayer be built here in Chapel Hill. There are others building prayer in Durham and Raleigh. We want to see one here in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
We want to see that. Why? Because it's part of one of our values is the presence of God. When we create a place for prayer perpetually to be going on, it comes in and no longer is there a transactional kind of thing. It's a transformational thing where people encounter his presence and leave transformed. And so we want to see that. And so we're going to be praying for campuses. We're specifically praying for UNC. We're praying for the Adventures of the 70. We're praying for the tent on campus. And so these are things that we want to see God move on. We want a tangible expression for what we're praying for, man.
Yeah.
I don't pray ethereal prayers. What that means, I don't pray spiritual stuff that's just up here. It moves down here when I pray. And so when I pray, I almost feel that it is out of my mind to think that if I pray what God says to pray, that there is nothing that is going to happen. I don't have that mindset. And so we have to believe when we go in that when we say what he says, it's going to happen. It might take time, but it will happen. And so we're going to pray from promise, praying heaven to earth as you pray. Pray positive prayers. Don't pray the problem. Pray the solution.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to just concentrate on the negative. Look at what God is doing and pray that.
Come on. Yeah.
And so pray from scripture. So no matter what background we come out of, we can all agree with Jesus.
Amen.
All right. And that's the plumb line right there. Let's just pray from it. There might be different interpretations of how we see it, but pray from promise. Pray from scripture. Speak directly to God when we're praying. Like, don't worry about who else is in the room, what they're going to think, how they're going to look, whatever, whatever, wah, wah, wah. Pray to Daddy.
Yeah.
Pray to Daddy. Talk to him like he's right here because he is. The Holy Spirit is here and present.
Yeah.
And the greatest thing that we want to see out of this is the release of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The anointing of heaven's oil. We want to see that. That's what we want. And as I was praying, I was asking, because there's different types of prayers and, you know, different ways that we pray. And that's fine, guys. It's cool. Everything is invited, you know. And so as we move into this, I've asked some certain people to come up and pray. We're going to go through three sections. It's going to be an up, in, and out prayer model. Up, our focus on God. In, our prayers for the body. And three, out, our evangelism. And so they're going to lead us through prayers. The first part is going to be a little bit of devotional time. And so just kind of prepare your heart before the Lord. It says we come in with thanksgiving. If there's things you need to repent of, repent. Like, happy repentance, man. Repent. God, forgive me. Man, I'm sorry. I want to receive what you have. Like, just turn. You know what I mean? And get right. Set your heart before him, but receive in this time of soaking as well. And then we're going to pray out up to God. We're going to pray to him and tell him who he is, how thankful we are for him. And then the second part, we're going to move into prayer for the church and for Chapel Hill's house of prayer. We're going to pray for that. We're going to have some specific scriptures on the screen to help you focus with your prayer. And in section two of the up part, if there's something that God is laying on your heart about praying for the church and the house of prayer specifically, we're going to invite you up to pray a quick 10 to 15 second prayer on that. Okay, because everybody can pray. Little kids can pray. 5-year-olds can pray. You know, no matter how old, you can pray. If you just got saved yesterday, guess what? You're invited to pray. And so section three, we're going to be focusing on the colleges. I've asked a team of guys on the campus and our campus leader here to lead that section. And so we're going to go into it and pray. It's 11:39 right now, guys. I probably went a little bit over. And so we're going to run through this like you guys know what it is. And one of the things I really felt from the Lord is he was saying this is a prophetic pool. A prophetic pool like Bethesda, when we enter into it, it's going to stir things up. There's going to release healings, signs, wonders, miracles, faith. And so that's what we're asking for right now. So if you guys want to go ahead and get started, and I'll walk us through this as well. All right, guys? So let's go. Thank you for your good pleasure. We receive your love, Jesus. We receive the pleasure that is awaiting us. The pleasure of the Father. In your right hand, Jesus, we receive that, God. We thank you. There's no higher delight. There's nothing more beautiful than you, Jesus. You are glorious. We gaze upon the beauty of who you are, your character, your nature, your love. You are perfection. We look into those beautiful eyes of fire. You fuel our heart with intimacy and passion for who you are. You tell us how you love us. We worship you, Jesus. The most beautiful man that the earth has ever seen. There is no one like you, Jesus. None like you, Jesus, on heaven or on the earth. There is none like you. All that we can ever ask for and attain to is found in you, Jesus. Lifetime, but for the age to come and forever, God, we will forever be living in your pleasure. Holy Spirit, from the pleasure, from your right hand, Jesus, this was your prayer. This is who you sent, the helper, God. We ask, God, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now in this place, God, for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and all that comes with him. You are God. We ask, God, we are asking you, Father, for the outpouring of your Spirit in this place right now, Jesus. We ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. Release your grace, Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. We'll be right back. in this place. As you move upon our hearts, God, we are asking for you to move in this place. Given to me that I may open my mouth to boldly make known the mystery of the gospel. So God, we pray for that river inside of us to bubble forth, God, bringing forth the prophetic word from heaven, God, out of the council of heaven, God. Would you release your words into pulpits across Chapel Hill, into our church, God? Would you release your word, God, and power on sermons, God, power on prophetic messages, God, power from what you are doing in heaven to be released on earth, God. Give your preachers, your ministers, utterance, God, from that river of life inside of them. Let it bubble forth and spew forth, God, piercing hearts, God, piercing minds. Bring forth the conviction in your power, your grace, and your love, and your mercy, God, with the prophetic utterance of words, God. Give us boldness to preach your gospel, God, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, God. Bring forth that river, God. Let it flow. Let preaching of your word.
Jesus. Isaiah 56:7, I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. The altar today is our heart, that we can give over everything to Him and ask in prayer, because He said, ask, come to me and ask. Is His desire that He will change everything if we would just come to Him in a corporate prayer to change the things that need to be changed in our nation. And it says, for my house shall, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, everybody, east, the west, the north, and the south. God wants everybody, and it's not going to happen until we get together in unity and forget about ourselves, but come together in prayer and uphold those that need us. They're waiting for those to stand in the gap. They're waiting for this house of prayer. And Lord God, that You said, Lord, that You would fill the house. You would fill it with joy. You would fill it with Yourself, Lord. And Father, that what we could ask is not big, because You said You have all things, that our thinking is so small compared to Your thinking, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see bigger, to see that You have all things that flow in the river, and all we have to do is get in alignment. Prayer is not what we do. Prayer is who we are. We pray because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and He prays through us because He has things He wants to accomplish on this earth. I thank You, Lord God, for this house that You're birthing. You're birthing. You're birthing. Even as Lucy is ready to give birth, Lord God, You're ready to give birth. You're groaning in the intercessions, Father, for You're giving, wanting to give birth to people of this house for prayer. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you.
Yeah.
house of prayer, God, that you would establish it, God, in unity, in love, and in fellowship, God, that you would build your house, God, for the transformation of this region, God. We ask for the provision, the resources of heaven, God, that it will take, God. We ask for the transformation of hearts, uniting of minds, God, across the body, God. Would you build your house of prayer here in Chapel Hill, God? Set us as a light on a hill, as a chapel on a hill that would be a light to the nations, God. Make us a house of prayer here, God.
That true thirst can only be quenched with Jesus Christ, Lord. You said that he has believed on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you use me and my brothers of Christ as just a fount of this Holy Spirit of water to go out and to pour upon the thirsty ground, Lord. I pray this in faith in Jesus Christ.
Speaking from Acts 4, verse 29, and it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." And I just pray today that, Lord, just you can continue to use us as vessels on our campus, as Christian vessels that speak with power, with boldness, with confidence, Lord, to help, to bring people to your love, to your kingdom, God. They are really yearning for you, Lord. They really want to know your name, God. They want to know your love, your grace, your power. And please let me and Josh, Isaiah, just be vessels to help bring people to your kingdom, God. Please show them your love, your spirit, Lord. And just let us walk in the spirit, Lord. We may speak in power and truth and knowledge and wisdom. And just help turn you and see around, Lord. You said just pressing your God.
John 37:38, he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly as plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Father God, you said that whatever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever we shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So right now we lose upon your laborers, Lord Jesus. We lose upon your laborers, Lord Jesus, to go forth to the harvest. Father God, you said in your word that you shall give us a new heart, a new spirit, these new desires, Father God. We pray on that right now. We agree on that, Lord Jesus. Shall go forth, Father God, and take proclaim, Lord, take the dominion over this earth right now, Lord Jesus, over this campus, Lord Jesus. Glory be to your name, Father. In my name I pray, amen.
Father, we do pray for the harvest, the harvest which is plenty, and we call to you, our Lord, the Lord of the harvest. Father, during worship, I've seen you drop down and connect like rebar, falling through the atmosphere and mightily connecting. Activate the harvesters. Activate the laborers.
Jesus, in John 14:17, you said that you would prepare a place for us. And you prayed your desire that we would be with you where you are. So we thank you for your heart. We thank you that you are already there at this chapter. demonstrate your glory and your unity in Chapel Hill. We say thank you, Lord, for everything that you will accomplish.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Jesus says, again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Would you pray this with me in agreement? Father, would you raise up 70 student evangelists at UNC? Would you save this year hundreds of students at the preaching of your word? Would you raise up 70 students that would go on adventure with you, God, and demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom? We declare that this is UNC's greatest year of harvest. In Jesus' name.
Make me a house.
pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, or the spirit of prayer. And they will look on me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. So, Father, I pray, God, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of prayer would fall on each and every one here today, God. That would fall on each and every one, God, that it, the house of prayer would not just be in this building, it would be in our daily lives, God, in our homes, in our workplaces. God, give us a spirit of grace for prayer, God. Grace for prayer. As we look upon you, Jesus, as we look upon the one who was pierced for our transgression, you were wounded, God, for our sins. You took upon your body our sins, our diseases, God. You healed us, God. We pray, God, a blessing of a spirit of prayer, God. Grace for healing, God. Grace for deliverance, God. Grace to endure in faith in the place of prayer before you, God. The enjoyable place of coming before our daddy. We pray that in Jesus' name. So guys, we are way over right now, so thanks for hanging out with me. I just want to bring this to a close. You got a little taste of what that could be like. If you are interested more in helping to facilitate or to really bring in birth in prayer, a place of prayer for Chapel Hill, to see more prayer arise here in this area, come and see me. If you need any notes on the teaching today, see me. Grab my, give me your email. I'll email you notes on that. This is really like a real brief, like, sip out of the cup that God wants to release today. Michael, did you have some practical things you want to release or anything like that for prayer? Because he's been doing this as well as others in the room, but there's some movement on this, and that's why we're praying grace on that right now.
Yeah, just a real practical, just like we were praying scripture, right? And we're praying the promises of God. As you're meditating on these scriptures just in your personal life, and you're building your prayer life in particular for things like the Chapel Hill House of Prayer, or like UNC, or your workplace, where you're targeting a specific area for breakthrough, make your promises to the Lord specific so that you can write them down and watch how God begins to answer those prayers. Because as you begin to see God move, you can begin to write those testimonies, and it will encourage and build up your faith, right? We're not just praying ethereal prayers like T was saying. So I just encourage us, like, make our promises specific and then begin to watch how in some cases God will begin to build our faith by answering some of them very quickly, just to stir us even more to pray.
You are released. If you need prayer for anything, we'll be up here at the front. We would love to gather with you and pray with you and for you and agree with you for what God wants to release in your life. And so, in Jesus' name, we bless you.
Amen.